This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 646 in the series. This session shares part of the Franklin Mass Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, October 20, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Members of the Town Council, Town Administration personnel, and other individuals along with were in the council chambers. Some members of the public participated in person, some via the Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distance requirements of this pandemic period. I split the just about 2 hour and 40 minutes meeting into three logical segments. First covers the opening, citizens' comment, appointment and swearing in of the new firefighter paramedic, and the update on ARPA funding. The second covers the Census 2020 data and the re-precinct presentation, along with the Q&A session, approximately 40 minutes. Third covers the legislation for action, council comments, and the meeting close, approximately 52 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda. So let's listen to this segment of the Town Council meeting of October 20, 2021.
Good evening. Time being 7 o'clock, I call the October 20th, 2021 meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have a few announcements from the chair. We encourage residents to participate via the Zoom platform. Residents are permitted to enter the building to watch meetings live and in person in an effort to ensure citizen engagement and comply with open meeting law regulations. Citizens will be able to continue to dial into the meeting using the provided phone number along with the meeting ID, or you may click the Zoom link that is on the posted agenda and on the town's website. The phone number is 929-205-6099. The Zoom ID is 876-0583-1233, and then you need to hit the pound sign. And once again, the meeting ID is 876-0583-1233, and then hit pound. The attached link and phone number will be active for the duration of the meeting for citizens to ask questions and or voice concerns. If residents are just interested in watching the meeting, it will also be live streamed by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. Second announcement from the chair, happy birthday to Councilor Brian Chandler. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Brian.
I do have one other announcement from the chair, and is our DPW director here?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Brutus, please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brutus Kinnaregi, DPW director. I got to bring up something we talked about the town administrator. As you know, we do, as part of our solid waste recycling program, we have a leaf pickup, and we usually do that the middle of November. I believe this year it's on November 15th. I've been working with a vendor, and they're having real issues. I think it's not a truck issue. They cannot get parts. He's trying to rent trucks. He's trying to do everything. So I was trying to come up with an idea. And in a little past, I think you know, and I will say this, and we used to do it twice a year, four times a year, twice in the fall. And part of this program is we went out and identified less than 5% of the people that actually pay solid waste recycling fee actually use this program, put their leaves out. Most people dispose of their leaves on their own, but there are about 5%. So we did get rid of it, two of the pickups over the last couple of years. So working with them, also working with a solid waste coordinator, What I'd like to do is propose, and I think it's just the best way to do it, is I just got to cancel it this year. But working with the vendor, obviously we're not going to pay for that pickup, but I also work with them that they're going to pay. You know, we got to do something. So what I was going to do is we allow the residents to drop off leaves at a recycling center, and then the vendor is going to go ahead and pay for the grinding and everything else that we do up there. It's about $7,500 that they got to pay out of pocket to do that for this service. So I think it's a pretty fair thing. I guess we don't have to, we could force him to, but we're just going to set ourselves up for failure, because I don't think he's going to be able to get the trucks, and just people are going to call you, call me, and it's just not going to work out. So I think this is the best thing going forward. So I just want to bring it up, and maybe we can discuss it later. But I want to get this word out early, because I hate for people to start bagging leaves, putting out by the side of the road, and start saying, where's my pickup? So that's kind of where we're at with that.
Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay, moving on. Citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 5 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. The council will not engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The town council will give remarks appropriate consideration and may ask the town administrator to review the matter. Is there anyone in the council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Steve, please come forward. Just name and address, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Steve Sherlock, Franklin Matters, Franklin TV and Radio. Just a quick reminder for everybody listening tonight, on franklin.news and Franklin Matters, we posted the info about the second candidates night to be held Thursday, the 21st, beginning at 6:30. The four contested election candidates have been invited. We expect, with other than an exception or two, they will be coming. So that we'll have kind of a round-robin format, three questions per roll. The first person gets 2 minutes to talk, then each other person gets another minute to add or subtract to what was said. So at the end of the 10 candidates or 12 candidates, the voters get a chance to see where people are on that question. So that's the format of tomorrow. It will be live streamed, it will be broadcast, it will be available for replay. Franklin Matters will also post the audio. 6:30, Town Senior Center. Tomorrow night, all four sets of the candidates for contested elections. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Is there anyone else in the council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Please just name and address.
Sue Cass, 146 Long Hill Road. I'd just like to thank the entire council for a year of hard work. I know at times it can't be very rewarding, but the citizens of the town certainly appreciate all the work you put in. So
Thank you, Sue. Is there anyone else in the council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board. I just want to remind the voters.
Yourself, please.
I'm sorry, Nancy DiNello, your town clerk. Thank you. I just want to remind the voters that we are open this weekend for in-person early voting here at the Town Hall between the hours of 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. We also have in-office voting for anybody that wants to come in during regular office hours, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday from 8 to 4, and Wednesday from 8 to 6, and then Friday as well from 8 to 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Is there anyone else in the council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Please come forward and just identify yourself, name and address, please.
My name is Jackie Maciel. I live on Elm Street. I would like to speak about what's happening in the world that we live in. If you watch the news, there are a lot of people who are making some rather difficult choices in their lives. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. I read the book because I had to go to college, 1984. It was written in 1949, okay? There's a movie of that book. I would urge everybody to see that movie and think about the world we presently live in. That was written in 1949, about 1984. I think you'll be surprised how close we are to that society. Ironically, there's a songwriter, country songwriter, named Lee Greenwood. Some of you may know who he is, some of you may not. He wrote a song, ironically, in 1984. I looked that up today. I said, oh my God. So I would like to share with you some of the verses and put a little commentary in there. It starts off, if tomorrow all the things were gone, I've worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and wife. That's happening right now to all our neighbors. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag that stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. We should need to think about that when we all say the pledge. The second verse goes on and says, from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, to New York and LA. Well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. Sang it much better than I could, so I didn't subject you to that. However, all my grandparents were born in Europe. I'm a second generation American, and I'm the first person in my parents and my grandparents and my grandparents to graduate from a college. So I just want to share with you why I'm so passionately patriotic and will always be a patriot first. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Is there anyone else in the council chambers that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Okay, anyone out in Zoom land that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? I'm not seeing any. Alicia, you see anyone?
No, I'm not seeing anyone.
Yeah. Okay. Seeing no further citizens' comments, we'll move on. We have no minutes to approve this evening. No proclamations or recognitions. We do have an appointment. I think Chief McLaughlin's here from Fire Department.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Town Council, Chief McLaughlin, Franklin Fire. Tonight I have the privilege of introducing you to the newest member of the Franklin Fire Department. His name is Dave Ogilvie. Dave has been a firefighter for just over 20 years in the fire service. has been a paramedic for the last 15 years. David has been devoted to furthering his knowledge and skills, both as a student and as an instructor. In 2017, David obtained his associate's degree in fire science. David is an active member of the Norfolk County Technical Rescue Team and FEMA's Massachusetts Task Force 1 Urban Search and Rescue Team. These teams have allowed David to serve Norfolk County as well as this country in highly intensive rescue operations. David is also an instructor at the Massachusetts Fire Academy, where he teaches technical rescue and trains recruit firefighters. David is here tonight with his wife Elizabeth and their three children, Grace, Amanda, and Dylan. And his wife Elizabeth will be pinning his badge. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chief. I think our town clerk is here too.
Congratulations. Hi, David.
Yep. Mics are on.
David, do you want to raise your right hand? I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand and repeat after me, David. I, David Ogilvie.
I, David Ogilvie.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To faithfully execute.
To faithfully execute.
The duties as a firefighter.
The duties as a firefighter.
For the town of Franklin.
For the town of Franklin.
With respect.
With respect.
Integrity.
Integrity.
And excellence.
And excellence.
And to uphold the mission.
And to uphold the mission.
Of the department.
Of the department.
The Constitution of the United States.
Constitution of the United States.
The state of Massachusetts.
The state of Massachusetts.
And the laws and ordinances of the town of Franklin.
And the laws and the ordinances of the town of Franklin.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm just going to shake his hand.
And didn't draw blood. Scheduled this evening, no license transactions, presentations and discussions. We have a couple. The first one is the American Rescue Plan Act. Jamie, would you like to lead into this, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to you, the council, the folks here and the folks watching from home. So I'm just going to give a quick summary of the American Rescue Act. And some of the federal stimulus money that's coming to the town of Franklin. Before I get started, I do want to acknowledge Alicia Lean in our office. When this pandemic hit, she was a short 9 or so months into her career, and she jumped in right away in so many ways. And one of the ways that you're going to find out where she's done a tremendous amount of work is really she's really coordinated all of the federal monies to date. And I just want to acknowledge her efforts. She's done a tremendous job for the town. She is probably, I know one fan of hers is Chris Sandini, our finance director, because she was able to take these big projects off his plate when he didn't really have a lot of time. And over the last year and a half, she's done a great job. I just want to thank her. And certainly from CARES Act questions and FEMA, she may be able to answer those this evening. So just to give everybody at home a quick overview, quickly, we received $2.92 million in CARES Act money as the town of Franklin. Many of you in this room are familiar with this money. We've done many memos delegating exactly how we spent it. We've done meetings. This was the March 2020 congressional legislation, and spending ends this year. Most of the uses that people are familiar with are the PPE, the Chromebooks, the still only town in the state of Massachusetts to have UV lighting in our ductwork in all of our buildings. And I obviously give another huge shout out to Mike D'Angelo and his team for getting that done. HEPA filters, staff leave. Sometimes when I look at this list, I can't believe this was the last 19 months, but a long time ago, back a year and a half ago, this is what all of the money went to. I did create in the link a detailed breakdown on our town budget page. We do have all of the information detailed. We've passed it out many times, but just for folks at home in case they haven't seen it. The memo is there with the detailed breakdown of funds. Those funds are gone, by the way. The projects are completed. There's a couple of tiny things left to do with UV lighting, but all the school buildings and all the town buildings, including police and fire, just got done in the last few weeks in DPW, so great job to everybody. FEMA, we have not received any money from FEMA yet. We've estimated about $600,000 worth of PPE cleaning supplies and leave for emergency personnel. We have not received a penny of this yet, and we don't expect to receive it for a long time. For all of you that have been on the council a long time, you know from Brutus and his snow presentations, we might get money back this year for snow, for a disaster 3 years ago. So sometimes it just takes 2, 3, 4 years for the federal government to go through this, and we don't expect any money back soon. But obviously this is affecting every city and town in the state, so the DOR will put out guidance at the appropriate time on this. But we expect another reimbursement of our cost to be around $600,000. Or so. All the other federal funds, except for the ARPA, which we'll talk about in a second, went directly to the public schools. I know many of you have asked questions of the superintendent. Superintendent has also done a ton of presentations at the school committee on how they've spent their money in the past that they got through the CARES Act. And I just want to give a huge shout out to our congressional and legislative delegations. I want to make the point that all of that money that you just saw that was spent, the $3.5-4 million, if they didn't do this, that would have meant that we would have had to have paid for a lot of this, or we would have had less safe employees and citizens. And as I explained earlier a couple years ago, that would have been out of the town's budget, and that could have meant certainly a lot of job loss, a lot of expense loss, a lot of gear loss. So to this point, clearly our congressional and legislative delegations have been with us since the start, and they really have helped us weather this entire pandemic. Which brings us to the main event, ARPA, which is the American Rescue Plan Act. This was the congressional approval in March of 2021. The town is slated to receive approximately $10.1 million in federal ARPA funds. I've broken them down to help myself understand them, because the money is going to be coming from different places. So I've broken it down into different municipal allocations. So we do have, we have received $1.78 million to date, and received in June, and we expect the second installment of our municipal allocation next year. $3.31 million in the first county allocation, we expect to get that, and we'll go through it more in a minute. This fall, with the second one, that's a typo, it should be 2022, but the second installment next year. All funds have an expiration date to be expended by December 31st of 2024. And one unique aspect to Franklin is because we're in Norfolk County and we have an active county government like Bristol and Plymouth, the county government is actually going to administer the county allocations. If you live in a town like Middlesex, or another community where there is no county government, I don't believe Suffolk has a county government either, if you don't have a county government, you've already received your first allotment of county money, okay? So the process for Norfolk County is probably gonna go a little slower than some of the other cities in town. We did do a presentation, and I'll speak to it in a minute, but the county is gonna take 3% of our funds off the top, 2.5% for their administration fees, and 0.5% of our money for their own county projects, whether it's the Registry of Deeds, the Ag, I don't know, I don't think they know yet exactly what those projects are, but obviously with 3 years left to spend, it's gonna be a very long and complicated process to get through this. So in essence, because we're a county form of government, the town of Franklin loses $200,000 in additional revenue that's gonna go to the county because of how the law was written in Congress. ARPA funds can be spent on a very limited basis. So you've only got a handful of categories: support public health, economic impact, revenue replacement, employee premium pay, and what you'll see tonight is the infrastructure elements, water and sewer, including stormwater work.
Yay.
All right. I thought the champagne was going to go off. Including stormwater work, and I will say certain stormwater work. I put that word in there specifically, not all, but certain stormwater work. And broadband. We did have a meeting with the county at the end of August as an initial meeting, and just this past week, on October 14th, we did have a more in-depth meeting with the county officials and commissioners where they said a portal would be available a couple days ago. I get it, portals are hard. I'm sure it'll come out in due time. And they've actually redefined their policy, which I think showcases to the town how complicated this is gonna be. They originally told us we could apply for 50% of our funds. And now they told us last week we can only apply right now for 25% of our funds. So this shows how this is gonna continue to evolve, continue to change, and I wish I could predict the future, but I can't. But that's what we're going to be able to do out of the gate. As I mentioned, guidance on ARPA funds are going to continue to evolve. I had a Norfolk County Town Managers meeting today. Everybody's talking about what ideas people have, and I think eligibility for use of those funds is very restrictive at this point. I've read through the guidance a million times, trying to find any word I can to interpret, to expand the uses. And I think what the truth is that as projects become available, as they get approved by the county, or we find out what our municipal partners are doing in other towns and maybe in other states, I think it'll generate a lot of good ideas for a lot of other communities as well. Again, this is a marathon, not a sprint. Just for the record, these are being treated as grants. So we're actually applying for grants. It's kind of a legal term, but it's important for revenue accounting. So these will be on our grant sheets, essentially. The U.S. Treasury Department has put at the end of this presentation, a lot of links to all of the guidance. We think the project eligibility will flow, as I mentioned. And one factor that was discussed today is that there's so much stimulus money that's going to be going out that for water and sewer and infrastructure projects, I don't know if the construction industry and the consultant industry can handle this type of volume where we're already hearing from the DPW director we can't get parts for trucks to pick up leaves. We all know about the recycling and trash issues. Council DeLorco has spoken those things before at Massport and at the state. It's going to be interesting to see how all this goes. We don't know whether project costs will go up, whether they'll go down. I'm not sure. So it's going to be an interesting exercise, I think, for all. So as I mentioned earlier, the 1.73 allocation number one has been received. Our recommendation and my priority is to save that money for right now. We are not out of the pandemic, and we're talking about booster clinics from 5 to 11-year-olds. We're talking about additional booster clinics down the line. We all know we have almost 36 paramedics that are able to give shots on Franklin Fire. We know we have a high school gym that can get the job done. We now have a public health nurse that is on staff that can order vaccines, where a year ago we did not have that. So given all of the potential issues, I think getting through this winter, getting through the vaccine campaign is a wise move, be able to save the money. And again, we have 3 years down the road. If we don't have to spend it, which I don't want to, but if we did on public safety, then at least we have that money in the bank until next summer when we expect to get our second installment. County allocation number one, we anticipated originally it was gonna be $3.2 million, but it must be applied, as I mentioned, to the county. Again, they're asking us to do 25%. And again, it's still a little up in the air, but the projects that we're looking to do in that first allocation is going to be doing year three of our water main replacement plan, about approximately $750,000 worth of stormwater compliance, roughly $1 million for a public safety wireless broadband tower, a mental health clinician for the Franklin Police Department, and a commercial vaccine fridge for our public health nurse. Project number one is things that this council and the public are very familiar with, what our water main replacement program. Ultimately, we believe that trying to invest in those monies in water main replacement, which easily qualifies, will stabilize water rates. It will impact everybody because it will avoid the inevitability of the actual ratepayers having to pay for these projects. So we release that burden off the ratepayers, which is good. Second project, I have a list up here of $750,000 in stormwater, a series of drainage basin improvements, outfalls and culverts. We've labeled up here a series of projects that have been a high priority from the DPW director and our highway and grounds and stormwater superintendent. These monies will go towards projects that will give us credits for year four of our stormwater MS4 permit. This is great because now we don't have to put this portion of this bill, at least on these projects, into any stormwater program or put that into a utility where the taxpayers of Franklin don't have to pay for these projects. So we think this is value added for everybody, and we hope there'll be more of this. This is just the first step. And the final slide is about approximately $1 million for a proposed 180-foot tower in North Franklin. I know everybody on this council has heard the complaints over the years of the dead zones on the north side of town in terms of cell phone and Wi-Fi coverage. In addition, as all of you know, our public safety personnel, when they're down in that neighborhood on the edge of town, the two-way radio system will not get back to the station. And this has been a project that Jeff and everybody's been trying to finance for many, many years. And finally, this couldn't have been any better for the town to be able to have an opportunity. And again, it qualifies in broadband, which does include public safety in the guidance. So this is a really great project, we believe, for the entire north side of town. And certainly now this will actually cover 100% of Franklin to be able to have the two-way radio system that we've so wanted so bad. And again, the taxpayers of Franklin don't have to foot the bill for this, which is a huge value. I think that everybody here knows of the jail diversion grant, the Franklin Police Department, Cali, working through Advocates Inc. We've costed out with them the addition of a second mental health clinician for the police department. And it's hard to say, but the calls aren't going down. I think during this time where there's just so much anxiety and grief and stress among our residents. This is a huge priority for us, and it seeps into the public health category, and it's something that I think will continue to show that Franklin is an unquestionable leader on mental health services. You notice a bullet point here, town administrator hopes for more investment in this area. I think all of you hear it. I mean, this is an epidemic in and of itself. The amount of stress and anxiety and grief and difficulty that families and children and residents and our seniors and everybody in this community are having are just pumping up the calls for service. Ultimately, the state and town and everybody needs to do more on this issue. We've been talking about it for so long. It doesn't seem like the situation always gets better. And with the pandemic and what everybody's gone through over the last year and a half, I'm really hopeful that a lot of towns and other communities can put their heads together and think about ways that maybe some of these federal resources can be used for other mental health services and some of our other departments. And so we'll see where that comes from down the line. And finally, $3,185 for a second Aegis vaccine commercial refrigerator, which will be stored at the senior center at the direct control of the public health nurse, a registered nurse down in the senior center. As everybody knows, there is another one that we bought last year with federal money that's up at the fire department for our paramedics. So that really summarizes it, Mr. Chairman. Happy to answer any questions. At the end of the presentation, I put some links up here. All these links are on the town budget webpage. There's a federal stimulus link. Just go in there. We're going to continue to add information as this evolves. But we thought at this point, with the town going soon, possibly to apply based on Norfolk County, we just appreciate the time to be able to give 10 or 15 minutes to give everybody an overview. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Just a quick question, Jamie. I know you were holding the slides until the presentation tonight. Could you send out the slides to the council so that the council had copies of them?
Absolutely, and also they will be posted on that same website I mentioned a minute ago. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Chair Mercer. Through the chair, to Jamie. Jamie, so those are fabulous projects. I can't tell you how excited I am for the stormwater, to put some of this money towards the stormwater strain on the town. I just have one question about the different allocations. So are the municipal and the county allocations, do they have the same restrictions? Is it basically the same money, it's just like it gets split?
That's correct. The guidance on in the restrictiveness on how to spend the money, both pots of money are under the same guidance. So it's the same uses. That's correct.
All right. Thanks. Thank you.
Everybody wants a turn this year.
Everybody wants a little bit of the pie. You got it.
Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sort of along the same lines, since we have a ridiculous form of government in the sense that our money is going to go directly to the county, are they getting a lump sum directly to the county? How is the county getting that those funds?
The county already has the money.
Okay, so my question.
They proceed through you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I know they have half of it. They've got, I think Norfolk County should have put it on the side. I think it's 138 million throughout the whole county.
Okay.
And they've received 50% of that, to which I'll say it. Take the 3% and just give us the check. But I understand one of the benefits of this, going through the county, Councilor Jones, that I will say the county is doing a great job on. They are gonna go through and do all compliance review to make sure that what is allowed under the Treasury is allowed. So if they deny something we propose, okay. If they approve it, then everybody knows that those projects are eligible.
They have the half year, just the 50% is what they have.
That's correct. They have whatever,
they don't have the whole
68 million.
But what I'm getting at is they have the funds, and we're asking for peanuts, 25%. Now they're requesting that we request 25% of our allotment. Is that true, by the way?
Correct? That is correct.
Okay. So they're sitting on funds gaining interest.
So, through you, Mr. Chairman, we've highlighted this. I think every town manager and elected official and mayor in Norfolk County has made sure that the three county commissioners are well aware of that. Follow the money.
So where's the interest?
To the county.
Through the chair? The money has to be kept in a special account. The interest has to be accounted for. It's a federal grant, so the county doesn't get it. We don't get it.
Right.
The county doesn't get it?
They're accruing it.
They're accruing.
But to the finance director's point, it's not like they just got a lump sum and went down to debt and savings bank and threw the money into the bank, right? They have to keep it in a special revenue account, and they have to document that interest collected to the federal government and to the state. And I haven't calculated what the interest, what it is, but we'll find out someday.
Okay. Someday. That's sure. Just again, lost revenue.
Understood.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Discussions continue to go on. Anyone else? Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. So whole 10 million, just so everyone at home knows, we don't have to pay any of that. Nothing goes back, right? It all just comes in.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, that is 100% correct. And like the great job Alicia did and all of our departments in Spending CARES Act, we don't want to give back a penny.
Good.
And just to clarify as well, there is a time frame in which we have to spend it. So all of that $10 million has to be spent by the end of 24?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. So all this has to be spent by the end of 2024. I just want to note the CARES Act was supposed to be spent by December 30th of 2020, and all of a sudden on December 29th, Congress reauthorized that for another full year. So I think, I'd like to believe, Councilor Chandler, that by the time we got there, if the state was really struggling somehow as a state, spend all the money. Norfolk County Commissioners, I will add one more point to Councilor Chandler's question, which is a good one. The county told us directly on that first meeting that if we don't spend our money quick, which I quite frankly think that defeats the point, but let's just go with what they're saying, they are going to start routing the money to other towns who need it.
Right.
And I don't find that to be good public policy at all. I don't particularly agree with their message. It is what it is, but that's why our staff and everybody, we've been working really hard to prepare for this, because the day that portal opens, Alicia is going to be on that portal applying for that money right away, because I don't want to, I think there's going to be a long lead time. There's going to be RFPs we're going to have to put out. There's going to be the contracts we're going to have to hire. There's going to be quality control we're going to have to do. So the county's kind of urging us to get a head start, which I do agree with, but they did tell us if we do not spend any time, if we do not start spending it, they will start routing it within a year to other communities. So time is of the essence. Thank you.
You still have the
one floor. Last question.
Sure.
Where is that broadband tower going to be put up?
In my house. Yeah.
Jamie?
It's not next to everybody's house. We're still working. It looks to be right now, there's a town-owned parcel that's way far back in the woods off of Charles Drive. The town owns, I think, 15 acres back there. They own another big parcel back in the woods. So it'll be back in that neighborhood, way back between Bent and Skyline neighborhoods in general. I'm just trying to, I want to say the location is Mechanic Place, if I recall correctly.
Just that's off of Bent.
But it's actually accessed the other direction. It's through the Skyline neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, the three guys standing back there, how important that tower really is, because I don't even think people in this room or the town understand. Even a beautiful neighborhood right next to Keller Sullivan on Winterberry Estates. I mean, there's dead zones in there where they could be yelling for help and the radio just doesn't come out of there. So that is a huge... Actually, Chief, you know the dead zone.
You forgot about the fourth guy, right?
I know. You know what, Chief? I didn't even see you there.
I'm in pick, that's
why. TJ, you're outnumbered by the fire department.
I know, and I'm not in my uniform. Very rare, as some of you have stated.
Please.
Chief McLaughlin would know, and myself, that is a very bad zone. It's a dead zone. It's not that we can't talk back to the station or to the MEC, we can't even converse with each other. So when we're asking for help or we're trying to do it, they've had some fires up there in which it was critical that they need those communications. We had incidents where an individual took off and jumped into one of the lakes and we were looking for them and you couldn't talk to the people out in the boats looking for them and so forth. So it's the last of we had a three-pronged project. Stage two, we just finished. We just put all brand new equipment up on Keller Sullivan that never had it. We have all new equipment up on Upper Union. The fire department, we had something put up on their tower at headquarters. We went digital, and now you can hear everybody crystal clear. It sounds like they're underwater. It'll take a little bit to get used to that, but it's worked out perfect. And now this is stage three, or phase three, was to get this area down there completed. And with this money, we're able to do it a lot quicker than what we anticipated. We thought it was going to take a long, long time. So this will be perfect, and that way the people down there, when we do end up getting calls, they'll be safer because we're able to communicate with each other.
Excellent.
Anything to add, Chief?
No. Right now we have to go to Plan B, so we can't talk to each other right now to a separate channel, which is direct radio to radio. But by doing that, we lose the MEC. So the MEC doesn't have any, they don't know what's going on. We can't talk to them, they can't talk to us. So that's what we've been doing in the interim, so we can talk at the scene. But it's not ideal. We need to have that communication also with the MEC, so it's going to be a huge safety for our people for sure. So,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Chiefs. Brian?
Also, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Frangillo.
Thank you. First of all, fantastic slate of first projects. I think they're all very, very strong. The public safety implications of that are fantastic, but there's a second benefit of income. Do you have any sense of how much town income we could expect from that?
See, Mr. Chairman, we don't. I think that in terms of leasing out to telecommunications companies, it's a market-based issue. I think they're very well aware of the problem up there. There's certainly other people looking around at tower spaces up there. I think every resident who I would imagine lives up there knows on their cell phone how bad the service is up there. Verizon in particular is Great Courier, just the droppage rate is huge. There are some private projects that have recently come to my attention in the works. I don't want to overstate it, but you'd be looking at probably $100,000 a year maybe in revenue from leasing it off to telecommunications companies. The downside is this is a substantial time consuming project for the staff to just build a tower. This doesn't just happen overnight, so that's another factor. But we would be, if we did move forward with this, we would be doing that, leasing those out.
The second item I want to ask about was the mental health clinician, which I'm very excited about expanding that program. It seems like we've heard a lot about the positives. How exactly is the money end up? You know, like, are they on a contract? How long is that contract? What is the $260,000
get us? So number one, I think the jail diversion grant, I think we're in year 2 of 10. So the current person that we have on staff is through a grant for the next 8 years or so. And so that's awarded in the bank, year to year we get a new contract from the state. This is a contracted service with Advocates Inc. And so I know the chief, I don't know if you want to speak to a chief, but the chief has been in touch with the advocates to get a quote. The price is a little more affordable because we've already been paying through the grant for the overhead. So a second person would be approximately $75,000 a year. So this $250,000, which is just a little bit more than what was budgeted just for contingency, ultimately that would pay for 3 years, July 1st of 2022 to December 31st of 2024.
Yeah, I mean, the grant that we have basically pays for the clinician, and it's about it was $90,000, now it's $100,000 a year. So that's what, we just basically get the grant and then we forward the money every quarter over to Advocates. Because they pay for, her, but she works for Advocates, but she works with us. So I talked to them about what would it cost to end up getting another clinician. And they were like, well, we're not going to charge you the full $100,000. $75,000 will cover her salary and benefits. They already have the overhead already because they were already, doing that. And I don't know, we haven't really probably talked yet with, what have you, with Medway or anything. Or we're either going to, right now we split, Cali works for both. Basically us and Medway, that's the grant, it's a regional type thing. She spends 3 days with us for 8 hours, 2 days with Medway, but she crosses the border every time, anytime something comes up and she's needed, the officers just bring her over and we bring her over to Medway. So I don't know if we're gonna end up maybe doing something like that with Medway again.
Through Mr. Chairman, I have spoken to the town manager in Medway, and I think they're very supportive of joining in with a second person. The reason why I allocated the full amount was just because each town is kind of going through their own process, and because of the unknowns, I didn't want to lose the opportunity to get the money in the bank, and then down the line, we'll have to figure out between the two towns how we're going to do those cost-sharing elements. But I just didn't want bureaucracy between the two towns to get in the way of when the portal opens, I just want to go for it all, and then we'll work it out with the town afterwards. But the town manager there was very supportive of this idea, and I would expect that partnership would continue.
Thank you, Chief. Kobe?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chairman. Jamie, how long is it going to take to build that tower? Estimated? 2 years?
Year and a half, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, I was going to say 2 years the reason why I say 2 years is
ballpark, yeah.
Everything is slowed down. I mean, it's just took 2 weeks for the porta potties to get picked up from the Harvest Fest up in Rockwood Trust. I mean, everything, you heard the leaf pickup, the parts, the labor issues. I just have to assume it's going to be a couple years.
I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with that. So, yeah, just make sure we spend that money. I would suggest that that money would probably go to Canton, Milton, or Quincy.
Yeah, or Randolph.
Oh, Randolph, could be. That's where they're from.
I
I know I'd be doing it.
Yeah. Any further questions from the council?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Jamie. Jamie, so I see the stormwater infrastructure eligibility on the allocation. So is that going to bias any time with the DEP as far as the infrastructure mandates are going to be going?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's not going to bias any time, but what it will do is, as you know, there's an appropriation in the operating budget that we created the stormwater division. And as we all know, the DPW director gave us a price we couldn't afford last year of what we were, what we had to do. So what it's gonna do, Council Musanti, is not buy us time, but help us comply with the regulations this year without the taxpayers having to foot the projects that I put up here earlier. Instead of us having to pay $736,000 for those drainage culvert projects, instead of the taxpayers having, the feds are picking up the bill on this one.
That's where I was going with that. Thank you so much. You have the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions from the council? Any questions from the audience? Please, just come forward. Identify yourself, name and address, please.
Hey, Matt Linehan, West Central Street. Just a question, is there language in there specifying whether it has to be spent, like spent, or you know, allocated or obligated? So you obligate money, you can buy some time, and you don't have to buy the deadline. Spent, cash, you know, check written in cash and all that. So can it be obligated? Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, great question. It has to, it's a great question. I feel like I'm stepping into accountant's toes, but which I'm not qualified for, but it has to be firmly.
Chris is there to correct
it. It has to be, does a great job of it. it has to be completely spent. Cannot be obligated past 31st, 2024. The checks have to be out, and all has to be wrapped up. It's a great question.
Okay. Is there any other question from the audience? Please. Name and address, please. Once again.
Jackie Maceo, Elm Street. I guess through the chair to Jamie. So I'm saving you an email, okay?
He says thank you, by the way.
He's very good at responding. I do have to give him credit for that. He's very good. Okay, this new tower, I didn't realize it was such a problem with the firefighters. Okay, that's really an issue. However, my neck of the woods, down by the river, when the power goes out, okay, we have a landline, thank God, and the cell phone works as a phone, but nowadays they want you to go to their website to do yada, yada, yada. We can't get anything. And my husband has looked into all these devices to, you know, find towers or strengthen the signal, and he's done all types of things, and he can't. Will this tower help people with that situation of not being able to? It's Verizon, okay? We can't access the data plan, and they always say, oh, go to the website and do the yada, yada. I mean, one storm, we drove around and found a parking lot in downtown to get to the websites.
Yeah, through Mr. Chairman, I hope this answers your question. Ultimately, if you're gonna get a lease, any tower that's gonna be built today, and any wireless company that's gonna come on it is gonna build it with a 5G system. So I would like to believe that infrastructure is going to have an impact. I don't know exactly where you live. If you live in the Rocky Mountains and you live on the wrong side of it, and you live on a hill, sometimes this reception can still be difficult. I can't promise that it's going to impact every single parcel. It just depends on where the geography and the topography of your part of your land is. But I think it would go a long way in avoiding, for most people that live up in that area of town, I would hope it would reduce residents like yourself from having to drive out of their house down to some parking lot to try to find a signal, because a 5G system up there via Verizon or T-Mobile is gonna be a pretty powerful wireless signal. And so I hope that answers your question. Maybe not.
So the towers that are up there, cell phone companies going to rent and put their signals on those towers? Is that the plan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There would be an RFP by step, by law. We'd have to go out to procurement to go out and lease space as a public asset. That's correct.
Good. Because it'd be hard to drive around if it's a blizzard and there's no power in the house.
Yeah.
And the water doesn't work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. Is there any other questions from the audience? From Zoom? Just give an extra second or two because there is a delay. Okay, seeing none. Jamie, thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.